This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris, and John Feinstein is joining me now. John has written some of the best sports books of the last couple of decades, including A Season on the Brink, the year spent with Bobby Knight and the Indiana Hoosiers, and a couple of books about Tiger Woods, and, well, you name the sport, and he's written books about him. His new one is about minor league baseball. It's called Where Nobody Knows Your Name.
What's this guy know anyway? He's so great. How come he's been in the minors for 10 years?
And another thing, me. If you want to make it to the show, you'll listen to me. So relax. Let's have some fun out here. This game's fun, okay?
John Feinstein, welcome back to the show.
Paul, good to talk to you. As I was thinking just before I came on with you, that it's hard to believe it's been 22 years since you and I met back in Washington, D.C., but it's always good to be on with you. Thanks.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure talking to you again. So you spent some time with these people in the minors, and did you find it to be anything like Bull Durham?
No. The answer to that would be no. Minor league baseball has changed tremendously since 1988. Stadium where the Durham Bulls played still exists, but it's used for high school baseball. Now there's a spanking new ballpark in Durham, just about a mile from where the old park is. The clubhouses are clean and I wouldn't say spacious, but they're not uncomfortable. And that's really true of most AAA ballparks nowadays, because minor league baseball in the last 20 years has become a big moneymaker. People know that they can go out to a minor league ballpark, see very good baseball, see it up close in a smaller park, and see it at a place where the top ticket costs $15, which is, as you know, if you go to a game at Yankee Stadium, that's about what you pay for a beer.
Yep. When I lived there in Washington before they had the Nationals, I used to go see minor league baseball in Prince William County, which was Class A ball, the Prince William Cannons. And it was interesting because you could get a seat where you could really hear the pitcher hitting the catcher's glove, and you could hear that ball pounding into that glove. And I remember thinking, watching some of these 19-year-old kids who were rookies or trying to work their way into the game, that they were so much better than most of the hitters. Did you find that when you talked to the people at the AAA level?
The gap narrows as you get higher and higher, and narrows the most, obviously, when you get to the major leagues. Pitchers are always better than hitters. That's why if you can get a hit 3 times out of 10, you go to the Hall of Fame most of the time.
Yeah.
But when you get to AAA, you are frequently facing guys who have been in the major leagues. And that's sort of a key step. Can you handle guys who have been good enough to pitch in the major leagues? Those who can are the ones who end up in the major leagues. Those who can't are the ones who remain in AAA or go back to AA. And the flip side is true, too, with the pitchers. Because if you can't get AAA batters out in a dominating way, then the chances are you're not going to be able to be successful in the major leagues. It's the tiniest of gaps between AAA ball and major league ball. But it's also a huge gap, because if you don't have that one thing that's missing, whatever it might be, whether it's the ability to throw a breaking pitch on the corner or the ability to hit a breaking pitch on the corner, then you're going to be stuck in AAA. And it's the lifestyle is so different in AAA than the major leagues. Well, one guy said to me, you know, the clubhouse food in AAA is pretty much the same as it is in the major leagues, but it doesn't taste the same.
Your book focuses on 9 guys, 3 pitchers, 3 position players, an umpire, and 2 managers. And in reading the book, 3 words kept popping into my head: hopeful, bitter, and resigned. Would that describe most of the people you met in AAA ball?
Yeah, and I would go with hopeful first. I'm glad you used it first. I think that What was remarkable to me in interviewing guys who ranged from 19 years old, Bryce Harper was in AAA when I was researching the book, the guys in their late 30s, even Brett Tomko, who was turning 40 the year after I got through doing the research of the book, is I found far more of them hopeful than bitter. Some are resigned. Some understand, this is as far as I'm going. I love to play baseball. Somebody's paying me to play baseball. I wish I was getting paid a lot more, but I could still make a living playing baseball. So they're resigned to that. I was surprised, because I'd been told before I started the research that I was going to find a lot of bitter guys who felt like they hadn't been treated fairly, guys who felt felt like they belonged back in the majors. But Scott Ellers is one of those nine guys I dealt with who pitched in the major leagues for 8 years and won 17 games 1 year in Houston, said to me that, you know, when I look in the mirror, I say, wait, I'm a big leaguer. I should be in the major league. But baseball is ultimately judges you as you are. And whether you want to accept it or not, if you're in AAA, it's because you belong in AAA. If you were good enough to be in the big league, the team would have you up there because they want to win games.
Yep. Are there guys that you met at that level who are not on their way up to the majors and are not necessarily on their way down because their careers are on the downswing, but who are just making a living paycheck to paycheck as AAA minor league baseball players?
Yes, I ran into quite a few of them. And the best example might be a guy named Doug Bernier, who was in the Yankee system playing in Scranton. When I talked to him, he actually made it back to the big league last year in Minnesota. But when I talked to him, he'd been playing professional baseball for 11 years, college graduate, and had spent 3 days in the major leagues. And he told me when he got called up to the majors in 2008 in Colorado, he was making about $3,000 a month. And for the 3 days he spent in the big leagues, prorated to the minimum salary, he was paid $7,200. And he said the great thing about it was when he got his two-week check after that period, it was the first time in his professional career that he got a check that had a comma in it.
Wow.
So the answer is yes, there are quite a few guys living paycheck to paycheck and hoping that they'll have that moment when they get called to the big leagues and maybe get to stick around long enough to make some serious big league money. Because as you know, the minimum salary, if you're in the big leagues, is $500,000 a year. The minimum salary in AAA ball is closer to $30,000 a year.
There's a great quote you have from Chris Schwinden, who pitched for five different teams in 5 weeks back in 2012. He says, quote, "No one grows up playing baseball pretending that they're pitching or hitting in AAA. No one goes into his backyard and says to himself, here's Schwinden on the mound for the Buffalo Bisons."
Right, right. Exactly. And that's one of the harder things for these guys to deal with, that most guys who play baseball don't ever make it to the major leagues. Most guys don't make it to AAA. But when you get to AAA, and Schwinden had been in the major leagues on a couple of occasions briefly, you want to be that big league pitcher. You want to play in front of 30, 40, 50,000 people. You don't want to play in a stadium where, as Schwinden said, you know, there are nights when you can hear the crickets outside the ballpark. And that we all fantasize about being stars and thousands of people cheering our name. I think Ron Shelton, who was the director and wrote the script for Bull Durham, said it best, because he was saying that, you know, in the movies, at the end of the movie, the guy always hits the home run and goes off with the girl. He said, in real life, most big league, major league careers or minor league careers, baseball careers, end with a ground ball to shortstop.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe a harsh way of putting it, but it's pretty accurate.
Now, one of the other guys you write about in here, talk about people who want to get to the majors. You have a guy in here by the name of Charlie Montoyo, who is the manager of the Durham Bulls. We're coming full circle back to Bull Durham and the Durham Bulls here.
Right.
Who you write about him, and you call him one of AAA's best managers, a guy who would love to get a job in the show. But does he still have that love of game at AAA?
Well, I think he loves being in baseball. He's been, as he points out, he's been in the minor leagues his entire adult life. He was in Montreal for 1 month in 1993. He likes to point out that he, not Ted Williams, is baseball's last 400 hitter, because he went 2-for-5 while he was in the major league. But he does still love managing. He loves the idea as a manager of getting to tell guys they're going up, particularly for the first time. And he also has a son who was born with a serious heart condition. And as he said, that changes the way you look at the game. And he carries pictures of his two children, his two boys, inside his cap. And when he starts to get angry at an umpire or frustrated with the way his team's playing, he says he takes off the cap, looks at the picture of the two boys, and says, okay, I love the game, I want to win, but there are things more important in the game.
Well, as spring training is getting underway in Florida and Arizona, you got a lot of people who are hopeful, some who will be bitter, and some who are resigned to what this year is going to bring to them. In the meantime, in the minor leagues, it's a whole other story, which John Feinstein writes about in Where Nobody Knows Your Name, Life in the Minor Leagues of Baseball. John, congratulations on the book. I hope it's another bestseller for you, and it's always a pleasure.
Paul, thanks for having me again. I appreciate it as always.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.